30 years with the Sexual Assault Resource Center. That's a terrific milestone. Unfortunate that there's the problems, but it's great that there's this kind of resource.
That's right. That's right. We sure wish there weren't the problem and we could spend all our time on prevention education, but unfortunately, there's a lot of people who need help.
And it's not going away, and I'm guessing it's probably a growing issue.
I think it is a growing issue. There seems to, over time, of course, there have been a lot of people who have not received support and counseling at the time, and they have come forward, so the need for counseling has just accumulated. But I think probably the number of occurrences is going up as well. But there's no hard evidence because it's such an underreported crime that the guesses, the estimates are made from extrapolating from the reported occurrences and from survey results, et cetera.
Let's go back historically to the history of the Resource Center and how it began and how it has evolved to the services it's providing now.
Interesting story about the beginning is that the initiative to create what was then the Brazos County Rape Crisis Center came from the district attorney's office. And Travis Bryan, now judge, who was district attorney at this time, asked an assistant district attorney, Carolyn Ruffino, to investigate the possibility of establishing such a center. And At the back of his mind and people who were initially involved was the hope that by providing support and the volunteers, counselors, advocates to victims who came forward, that they could actually increase the number of reported crimes and ultimately the number of convictions. Seen as a way to make the victims much more comfortable with the system. Now the focus is very much on trying to help the victim immediately start to reestablish control over their own lives. And so, you know, there's no pressure to report. There's no pressure to go through with any criminal proceedings. The goal is to let that individual feel like they are going to have some control over their lives again.
And how does the Sexual Assault Resource Center work in tandem to, or that's not the way I want to phrase the question, how does the center work with victims to go through that process?
Victims come to, or victims, survivors, depending upon the situation, or it's kind of depending, the terminology depends upon the time period. If it's right away, they're victims. If it's any time has elapsed, they become survivors. Victims may contact the center, or the center may be contacted on their behalf if they go to the emergency room right afterwards for the exam, which results in evidence collection, and that is done whether or not there's any attempt, any plans to prosecute. The center may be contacted by law enforcement as well if the survivor goes first to the police. Or sometimes the survivors come to the center after some time has elapsed. It may even have been years when it's, at that point, the need is more for counseling. They realize they can't just forget about it. They have to deal with what happened to them. But when the center is contacted immediately, an advocate who is usually a volunteer, but it could be a staff member, will go and accompany them during the hospital examination. We'll accompany them and be there for support when they are being interviewed by the law enforcement officers that are, you know, taking the information. And that accompaniment, that support, can continue all the way through the prosecution if the case goes, if there is a case that goes to trial. The idea is to provide the survivors with information so that they can make an informed decision at each step of the way.
How important are volunteers to the center?
Volunteers are extremely important to the center. From the very beginning, I think the first class had about 30 volunteers who went through training before the center even opened its doors. And back at that time, there was one paid staff member. So, and we the first thing was to staff a 24-hour hotline. So volunteers were taking phone calls and making referrals, providing information, as well as doing those accompaniments that, you know, was an important part of the services provided from the very beginning. Today we have about 7 individuals, a couple of those on staff, a couple of those are part-time. They have other jobs, other responsibilities. So we still rely primarily on volunteers to cover the non-normal work hours, and in fact, as well as to take some shifts during the regular weekday work day, so that there's always that 24 hours of coverage that we want. There's, the volunteers are trained. There's about a 30-hour class going into a variety of topics, and that training is offered 3 times a year.
And I want to allow you an opportunity to pitch when the next training session is and how one might find out more information.
The training session is going on right now, so the next one after this will be in February. And always to get information about the center, center programs, center events, or just what the center does, one place to, is to go to the website, which is www.sarcbv.org, or to call the center and ask, which is 979-731-1000.
Well, all this background I want to provide in the beginning, because let's lead up to the 30th anniversary lunch, and the theme I see here is celebrating 30 years of change, hope, and healing.
Yes. And that is coming up on Thursday, October 31st. It's at 11:30. It's at the Hilton in College Station. What we're going to do is we're going to focus on the people and the programs that have made that 30 years successful. Reservations, individual reservations are $40, and lunch and sponsorships, which include 2 reservations and then recognition, of course, and printed materials, those sponsorships are $200. And again, the best way to make a reservation is either at the web, on the website, or by calling the center.
If you can share what the program's going to be.
The program is, you know, we're talking about what happened back, primarily back then. And so Carolyn Ruffino will be speaking. Linda Castoria, who was the first executive director for the center and held that position for about 20 years, she really shaped the center and made it what it is under her leadership. And she will be one of the speakers. And then focusing on today, this will be our board president, Lieutenant Alan Barone from the University Police Department. And we have asked also one of our advocates, Val Coleman, to give her perspective.
Have I missed anything?
In looking back over 30 years, there have been now about 1,200 people who have been who have gone through the training classes for to be advocates. We've tried to contact as many as we could find in the time that we had available. If there's anyone out there who we haven't contacted, we'd love to hear from them.
That's a great number.
It is a great number. It's 1,200 people who know a lot more about the realities of sexual assault, and hopefully are all sharing that word, have shared that word, and sharing that word among their circles of influence as well.